Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is our second study in 1 Kings. We come to chapter 2. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at David's last days. And it says in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 2, when David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, now, God has a set time for each of us to die. It takes some by surprise when it happens, but God knows how many days we will live before we even live our first day. And it's time for David to go. And he says in verse 2 to Solomon, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. A real man stays close to God. A real man has the courage to do the correct thing, even when it's not a popular thing. Solomon needed to be a real man now that he's about to take over as king of Israel. Verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. It is hard to be in charge of a nation, or anything else for that matter. And certainly no one is able to govern well if they do not obey God and confess their sins as soon as they fail. Verse 4. That the Lord may establish his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, and walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you a man on the throne of Israel. God made David and his offspring a conditional promise. He said, you stay close to me, and I will make sure that the king of Israel is from your family, David. If your descendants stay close to me, they'll be on the throne. In other words, Solomon, you have job security for as long as you stay faithful to the Lord. Great parting words from David to his son. Verse 5. Moreover, you know also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner the son of Ner, and Amasa the son of Jether, whom he murdered, avenging in time of peace blood which had been shed in war, and putting innocent blood upon the girdle of my loins and upon the sandals on my feet. Joab, the commander of Israel's army under David, killed a former enemy while there was a treaty of peace. God makes a distinction between killing someone in a just war and cold-blooded murder. They are not the same thing. Verse 6. Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. David instructs Solomon to use wisdom in punishing Joab, but one thing David insists on, and that's that Joab doesn't die in peace. He must pay. Verse 7. But deal loyally with the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For with such loyalty they met me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. Be kind to the sons of Barzillai, because He was kind to me when I needed it. And it's the old principle that we see throughout Scripture. We reap what we sow. If you sow kindness, that is what you will reap. Verse 8. And there is also with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, from Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now, therefore, hold him not guiltless. For you are a wise man. You will know what to and what you ought to do to him. And you shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol. David swore that he would not put Shimei to death for his sin, but he didn't swear his successor wouldn't execute him. Shimei's crime deserved death. David graciously delayed it. Verse 10. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, Do you come peaceably? He said, Peaceably. Bathsheba did not trust Adonijah. She was afraid that he had not really repented of treason, which he had been guilty of against her son Solomon the king. Remember, he tried to steal the throne from Solomon before he even got to the throne. We saw that last time. Verse 14, then he said, I have something to say to you. She said, Say on. Verse 15, he said, You know that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel fully expected me to reign. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Well, that's not exactly true. He wanted the kingdom to be his, but it never was. He tried to steal the kingdom, but he failed. And some wanted him to be king, but not all. So he's trying to get soft-hearted Bathsheba to feel sorry for him. 16. And now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me, she said to him, Say on. Don't refuse me, Adonijah says. In other words, remember how much I've suffered already. Don't deny me one simple thing, Bathsheba. Verse 17. And he said, Pray, ask King Solomon. He will not refuse you. To give me Abishai, the Shunammite, as my wife. Abishai, remember, was the widow of King David. If Adonijah can marry her, he can claim to be the rightful heir of the throne. After all, he has the ex-king's wife. And you know, many will believe that too. Verse 18. Bathsheba said, Very well, I will speak for you to the king. She felt sorry for Adonijah. Her emotions caused her to miss his treachery. It reminds me of Eve and the serpent. Verse 19. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah. And the king rose to meet her and bowed down to her. And he sat on his throne and had a seat brought for the king's mother. And she sat on his right. The king honors his mother. And by setting her at his right hand, he shows that others ought to treat her with honor as well. She is the king mother, or the queen mother, I should say. A very exalted position. Verse 20. Then she said, I have one small request to make of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, Make your request, my mother, for I will not refuse you. She said, Let Abishag, the Shunammite, be given to Adonijah, your brother, as his wife. King Solomon answered his mother, And why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my elder brother. And on his side are Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah. In other words, mother, why not just ask me to give up my throne and hand it over to Adonijah? See, marrying David's widow would be a stepping stone to the throne. When hard times hit the kingdom, he can say, See, I should be king. And look, I have the ex-king's wife as my wife. That just proves that I should be king. Verse 23. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if this word does not cost Adonijah his life. David was right when he said Solomon was wise. He saw what a slick person Adonijah really was. He saw what he was trying to do here. Verse 24. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and placed me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. So King Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down, and he died. Solomon told Adonijah, we saw it last time, if he behaved himself, he would be allowed to live. And so he had been warned. He had been given a chance. He blew it. He can blame himself for his death. Verse 26. And to Abiathar the priest, the king said, Go to Anathoth, to your estate. For you deserve death, but I will not at this time put you to death, because you bore the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because you shared in all the affliction of my father. Solomon will spare the priest, even though he had rebelled against God and rebelled against his father the king. He still respected the priest's holy position. And so Solomon, like a godly leader, leads with mercy as well as with justice. 27. So Solomon expelled Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, thus fulfilling the word of the Lord, which he had spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. By removing Abiathar from the priesthood, Solomon is fulfilling the word of God, who said that the priesthood would be removed from the line of Eli, the line from whom Abiathar came. And that was 80 years earlier, when God said that that would happen. And so we see that God's justice sometimes moves slow, but it does come to pass. 28. When the news came to Joab, for Joab had supported Adonijah, although he had not supported Absalom, Joab fled to the tent of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told the king, King Solomon, Joab has fled to the tent of the Lord, and behold, he is beside the altar. Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, Go, strike him down. So Benaniah came to the tent of the Lord and said to him, The king commands, come forth. But he said, No, I will die here. Then Benaniah brought the king word again, saying, Thus said Joab, And thus he answered me. And, you know, Joab evidently thought Solomon had too much reverence for God's altar to kill a criminal who was clinging to it. He may have thought that, or he may have hoped that dying next to the altar would deliver his guilty soul from hell. But he's hanging on to that thing, and he doesn't plan on letting go. 31. The king replied to him, "Do as he has said. Strike him down and bury him, and thus take away from me and my father's house the guilt for the blood which Joab shed without cause." Simple solution. Drag him away from the altar and execute him. And this was not vengeance. It was justice. Joab was a cold-blooded killer. 32. The Lord will bring back his bloody deeds upon his own head, because without the knowledge of my father David, he attacked and slew with the sword two men more righteous and better than himself, Abner, the son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. So shall their blood come back upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his descendants forever. But to David, and to his descendants, and to his house, and to his throne, there shall be peace from the Lord forevermore. Then Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up, and struck him down and killed him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And so the army general Joab, the army general under David, who formerly was a war hero, was buried privately, more like a criminal. He did not have the ceremonial funeral like a general usually would, because in his latter days, he rebelled against God and against the king. 35. The king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army in place of Joab, and the king put Zadok, the priest, in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and summoned Shimei, and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and do not go forth from there to any place whatever." Solomon is being lenient to Shimei. This man deserved death for what he did to King David. But Solomon very graciously reduces his sentence to basically house arrest. Don't go outside of Jerusalem, and you'll be okay. All right? Simple to understand. And he agrees, verse 37, "For on the day you go forth and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain that you shall die. Your blood shall be upon your own head." And there's the warning, not to abuse Solomon's mercy. If he breaks the terms of his house arrest, he will be executed, and it will be his fault. 38. And Shimei said to the king, "What you say is good. As my lord the king has said, so will your servant do." So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Solomon was better to Shimei than what he deserved, and he admitted it. And he says he's going to obey. And he did for a while, but then notice 39. It happened at the end of 3 years that two of Shimei's slaves ran away to Achish, son of Maaca, king of Gath. And when it was told Shimei, "Behold, your slaves are in Gath," Shimei arose and saddled a donkey and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his slaves. Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. Now, he broke his prohibition. He may have thought that it was justifiable, but there were no stipulations here. He broke his prohibition in order to get his slaves back. He will lose his life because he wanted his slaves. A person is a fool who loves this world to the point that it destroys him. 41. And when Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and returned, the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord, and solemnly admonished you, saying, 'Know for certain that on the day you go forth and go to any place, whatever, you shall die.' And you said to me, 'What you say is good, I obey.' Why then have you not kept your oath to the Lord and the commandment with which I charged you?" The king also said to Shimei, "You know in your own heart all the evil that you did to David my father, so the Lord will bring back your evil upon your own head. God will punish Shimei for the crimes he committed against David." Shimei revealed that his rebellious attitude had not changed. He revealed that when he disobeyed Solomon. A repenting person may be shown mercy, but the one who willfully rebels will receive punishment. And that's what's going to happen to this man. 45. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Then the king commanded Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. So the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. The kingdom was secure because the enemies of Solomon the king were destroyed. The world will never have true lasting peace until God's enemies are removed from it on Judgment Day. Next time, we'll pick up our study in 1 Kings chapter 3. Until then, Michael Moret here for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.